All right, as we settle down, we're just going to get right into it this morning without further ado. How many are expected in this place this morning? Hallelujah. Always encourage. It's important when you attend to have expectation, okay? And as it's healing class, it's good to have that allied to the word. A basis for it, for that expectation, okay?
Yes.
We're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Thank you, Father, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Give you praise, Lord, because it brings light and illumination into our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for helping us really get it, that we are healed. By your stripes we were healed, and so we are healed. We are the healed of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for manifestation in this room. Thank you, Lord, for your word ringing out in power so that as individuals leave this place today, they do not leave the same way they came. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because they are rid of anything that may or might have ailed them up till this point. Thank you, Father, because it is for freedom that you set us free. And we pick up on what is ours rightfully, bodily, in the name of Jesus. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's here, and let's be conscious of that as we continue on this morning. Is that okay? God is here. Have that consciousness. Carry that awareness as we continue on with this class. All right, last week we had real talk. What I tagged real talk, and the focus of it was heart in the word. Heart in the word. And we started off by showing that it's possible that even as believers, as individuals born again, born after God and righteousness and true holiness, it is possible that in our experience, in our walk here on earth, that there are certain things that ail us, that is, that hamper us as it concerns infirmities, sicknesses, ailments, and so on and so forth, by whatever name they may be called. And it's possible that some of that stuff has trailed us for a good portion of our lives. And we had individuals share from their experience how that, I'm talking about 10 years, 20 years, for some, a lifetime. Just as we've seen in God's word over the past few weeks, as it concerns healing class. And so, what do we do with that when we find ourselves in that situation or that circumstance? And we talked, you know, it was a great time where we shared. And if you were not here, I want to encourage us to just go back and, you know, take a listen to that message on the pod. Today, we're going to continue on along the same lines. But I'd love to run through a few things from last week, which was key, which, you know, a few points which were key. We talked about doubt. How that, because of what I just described and how long certain things or certain situations might have been in place in our lives, doubt becomes something that we grapple with. What is doubt?
Fear.
Fear. Doubt.
Unbelief.
How do we counteract that? When it feels like that's something that is really having a hold in our experience, in our life, in our walk, how do we deal with that? Yes, Kim.
I get a lot of fogginess. I have a lot of cognitive decline because of medications that I've been on, and I have a lot of fogginess. And when that happens, I don't feel like I can think past my nose. But after last week, I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to let the enemy steal what I know.
Mm.
I might not be able to think clearly, but I can remember that.
Hallelujah. 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 So you receive what I might call a steely resolve. And we talked about Abraham and what his attitude was in all of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Victory in so
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 And that's bringing change in her experience, change in her body. What she's seen going on in her life by the power of God. By the power of God.
Well,
Teresa.
So in answer to that, along segueing with Kim, you know, I had said, with my notes, that doubt creates a variance with yourself, a duality. Mm-hmm. And so you're fighting yourself and you're fighting to have faith, but that weakens it. And so what I decided, here's what I decided, Ms. Kim. I'm not going to believe symptoms, I'm not going to believe pain, but I'm going to believe God's word. And so they can, they want to hang around, they hang around. But the truth is healing and not looking at the symptoms and what's in front of you with your five senses. So I'm just deciding. And that way I'm single-minded.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got off that from Mark 11, 22, 23. But Jesus said, thank you, Teresa, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Okay, and then the next verse goes on to say real clearly, if you will do what, say what, to this mountain, be thou removed and what? And be cast into the sea without doubting in your where? In your heart. Essentially, what you say gets done, will be done. So without doubt. And so we saw doubt as from the originals being very at variance with oneself. Teresa talked about it as a duality. We talked about a short circuit. We talked about, it's almost like, permit me to say this, almost like cognitive dissonance. I think someone already said something in that regard just this morning about you believe one thing or state that you believe one thing, hold one thing as true, but then at the same time, in your heart, which is why I ask the question, what's in your heart? Because sometimes we can get into saying things, but does your heart truly believe it? And the way to counter variance, this variance or this duality is what? It's faith, but you mentioned something that is key, God's word. Taking God's word as true, as truth, and also believing and trusting without reserve in the God of the Word. Believing and trusting without reserve the God of the Word. Mm-hmm. And the example of that we saw was Abraham. And I'm going to highlight that in relation to things that which may afflict us, and then we'll get into today's topic, okay? Romans in chapter 4. Verse 19. By way of recap, it said, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. Now, it's possible that your situation to you, in your estimation, might seem as good as dead because it is something you can see, it is something you can feel, it's something that you know. We talked about sometimes taking ownership of that, saying, oh, my migraine, oh, my fogginess, oh, my arthritis, oh, my this, oh, my that, my HBP, high blood pressure, my. No, not yours, because that's not who you are. That's not your identity. That's not what he's called you to. Mm-hmm. So it's not yours.
Right.
Okay? So we talked about all of that. And so regardless of how long it's been, we may have slipped into that position where we think, well, this is my lot and this is my portion. Well, I just got to deal with it. Bible says he did not weaken in faith because it looked like an impossibility. Because we know that with God,
all things are possible.
With God,
all things are possible.
Amen.
He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body. Mm-hmm. So don't see it as, oh, this thing is eternal, this thing is unending, based on the struggle or the battle. I'm saying to you this morning, do not get weakened mm-hmm. in faith. And I'm encouraged by Kim and Teresa's stance in this and anyone else. This is not about condemnation. This is about having a steely resolve. And that can only come by one way, which we'll examine this morning. Verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him waver. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. 21, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. That's the same expression from different versions. And being fully persuaded. Another says, and being fully convinced. Absolutely confident. Absolutely sure. Abraham was fully convinced that God was faithful. He gave his word. And he's true to his word. And there's so many portions of scripture where we can take a look at this and just see how that in relation to God, Numbers 23:19, for example, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should what? Repent, which is actually the word that means to change his mind. 23:19. He's not a man. Or you want to take a look at it from James. He doesn't shift like what? James chapter 1, he's not like shifting shadows. God is consistent. God is true. His word is true. You can stake your lives based on God's word. And so I might as well get on with it this morning. This morning, I want to share in this class, real talk, second arm or part two, take this medicine. Amen. Take this medicine. Take it. Amen. Take it. What medicine am I talking about? Friends, let me say, praise God. You know, and it might seem simplistic, but there are certain things we're going to look at this morning. And I might just say it right now. I may not open things up, you know, as usually is the case of this class, because I need to get this across for this term. This is the end of another term as it concerns classes, the same for healing class. The persuasion. Someone says, how did Abraham get to that spot where he was just fully persuaded? Now, for us in this day and age, that persuasion doesn't just come by, oh, for being a Christian at all means, oh, you're just fully persuaded. It's not automatic. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a Christian. So, no. That resolve or that conviction doesn't... that. Persuasion doesn't just come just like that. It doesn't. But guess what? We can always see that persuasion in action, in motion. We can always see that conviction being what? Expressed, in expression. We can see it punctuate our lives. And that's how it ought to be. What do I mean? Every step of the way, I've seen that man, that woman, seen that young man, that young lady, we've seen that boy, that girl walking in faith, being what? Fully persuaded in the God in whom I trust, whom I've come to believe, who I have taken at his word. It shows up, friend. The heart speaks. The heart speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, I think Luke 6:45, the heart speaks. The mouth speaks, rather. Out of the abundance, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? It's important not only to guard our hearts, but to know what it is that we harbor in there. Okay, knowing him in whom you have believed, the God of the word, the God of promise, who does not change. Okay. Proverbs in chapter 4. I was going to give an example with Abraham from Genesis 22, but I won't delve into that because of time, but here it is. God, just quick nutshell, God had called him and said, take your only son and go.
Kill him.
I'm trying to say it in a nice way, Teresa. You know, on the mountain I'll show to you, expire him or whatever. He gets up, takes the kid, takes the wood, and takes everything and heads up. The Lord didn't tell him where. The Bible says 3 days later, he got to, I believe, Moriah. And then, you know, he tells his folks before they get there, okay, stay in this location. I and the lad will go and offer a sacrifice and whatnot. We'll come back to you. We will, both of us. But God said, go slaughter your son. Well, he's saying, we will come back to you.
Right.
Conviction playing out, not just in word, but in what? Action. His deeds. And they're still in motion. The son says, Father, I see the wood, I see the fire, I see everything, but where's the sacrifice? And he says, the Lord will provide. The Lord is more than able to provide for himself a sacrifice in this regard. Yet God had told him, go slay your son. And we know how the New Testament shows this. I'm not going to get into types and shadows, but it's truly rich. And that's why I didn't want to get into it in the first place. But I just said that to say that conviction, what is conviction, friends? What is conviction?
Certainty.
Certainty? One more, Teresa?
It's belief that propels you to action.
Belief which propels to action. A fixed, resolute resolve that propels to action. Before you had something?
No, I would say fully persuaded.
Being fully persuaded. Well, I love that, Teresa. It propels to action. You know, it's conviction. That's what ought to drive us. Now, how does this come? This full, you know, full persuasion. How does this come? Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. We touched on this last week. I want to try and delve in today. So please, go with me. Proverbs in chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I love verse 22 from the Jubilee Bible. Jubilee. It says it this way. For they are life unto those that find them. That is God's word. They are life to those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. And they are medicine to all their flesh. God's word. Now, as medicine, guess what? In regards to God's word, it has to be then what? Taken. It has to be what? Taken. It's no point, for example, for soul led to have the medication and whatnot. It just sits on that thing and then we're just staring at it. As far as from the medical point of view or scientific point of view, does that do you any good?
No.
So, but it has to be taken. So as far as God's word is concerned, it has to be taken. It has to be imbibed. It has to be applied. It has to. For it to have any benefit. I remember back in there as a youngster, you know, just coming into, you know, being raised and whatnot, quickly learned, oh, there's no point just taking the Bible, taking the book, and putting it under my pillow. I'm not opening it up. I'm not studying the word. I'm not getting, you know, into God's word. I'm not studying. I'm not laboring. I'm not meditating. I'm not doing anything with it. But I just, you know, say, oh, the word. And I'm just throwing this in your face, but if I'm not getting in there, the words of life are not being applied to my heart and to my situation, to my circumstance. What good does it do? Or if it's just on that shelf, gathering some dust or whatever it is. Some say, oh, it's on the phone now. Great. But then are we spending time in God's word? Are we vested in God's word in such a way that the power inherent in God's word, because God's word is powerful, Hebrews 4:12. Right, friends?
Mm-hmm.
What does that portion say? Healing class. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
Sharper
than a two-edged
sword.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. All right. So, how do we do this? How do we take this medicine? I'm going to show three quick ways this morning. Number one. Remember I said this may sound simplistic, but it's important. Pay attention, and it's for our benefit, for my benefit as well. Number one, read and study. By reading and studying the word. By reading and studying the word. We're at Proverbs in chapter 4, 21 says, let them not depart from what? Thine eyes, your eyes. Keep them where? Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them before your eyes. Reading on a daily, several times on a daily, or for chunks of time, however you want to do it, based on your own personal situation or circumstance. But the point is, you've got to get this word. Peter put it in this way. As newborn babes, it says what? Desire. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, I believe. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. There has to be that penchant for God's word, that pull towards God's word, that drive and zest and energy for God's word to take to yourself for intake. Peter said it as food. Today we're looking at it as what? Medicine, which is key and it's crucial. Ephesians 3, 4. Paul said, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul said, concerning revelation of the mystery which was given to him, Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He says, whereby when you read, you may understand. So that tells me something that is key, something that is important as a believer is to do what? Read, one. And when you read, guess what happens when you read? Based on God's word and promise inherent in God's word and what Jesus also spelled out in John chapter 14, in John chapter 15, in John chapter 16, essentially through those chapters, when you read, something comes. What comes? Understanding, acknowledging, power,
revelation,
insight,
healing,
friends. Oh, we're getting there. Praise God. No joke, friends. God's word, which is true. Okay? Paul said, when you read, you may understand. It's a promise. It's a sure thing. But you have to get yourself to that place, that position, where you actually do what? One, engage God's word. We'll get more into this. Engage God's word. Open your heart to God's word. And in that engagement, I promise you, is an encounter with the word. And not just with the word, but an encounter with the God of the word. Friends, I'm telling you, this crushes doubt. This deals with doubt. And I must tell you today, for free, say for free. As it concerns God's word, it's not a one time and done. It's not, I studied the whole Bible today. I studied the whole Bible today, so I'm good, awesome. That's it. All right, let's just go. And then I'm just done, and that's it. And I don't want to labor. I don't want to know his heart. No. It's not a one-time thing. This, friends, is a lifetime thing. This is what we're called to, and it's important, and we'll see why. He told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12. Wow, praise God. How time goes, right? Sorry, did I say 12? I meant 13. It says, till I come. It says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And that reading, if we look at it from the originals and look at it from the Amplified, for example, we see that it's both public and private reading of, not magazines or books or whatnot, of scripture. I love the Evangelical Heritage Version. It says, until I come, devote yourself to the reading of scripture, to encouraging and to teaching. I like it from the Passion as well. It says, so until I come, be diligent in devouring the word of God.
That's a good one.
Be diligent in devouring. You remember what I said? You can't just get enough. You just want to get into the word. You want to read. And with reading, you want to study. And it's important, friends. And we cannot emphasize this enough. Read God's word. Study God's word. Get into the word. Why? We'll find out. Real shortly, but it's important. I ask the question, is your heart vested in the word? Or is it vested in the world? As far as time, as far as attention, God's word. Study it. The materials out there. Get a Greek Hebrew concordance, get a Bible dictionary, get
Blue Letter.
All right, Blue Letter Bible, for example, or Bible Gateway, whatever it is, or get a concordance. The Strong's is awesome. The Vines is great. Exhaustive concordance of the Bible. Get this study tools and study aids and for once, create time and sit. If you have to get a desk, get a desk. Get a seat. Sit and study. It's great hearing the word, driving to work. It's great hearing, and we can say this for prayer as well in different ways, but I'm not even going to go there today, otherwise we'll be here 6 hours. But just sit and study. You can do a word study. You can do a topical study. You can do a character study. You can do. Allow the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, as far as my heart is concerned, I'm opening this up. You show me how to do this. I'm saying God's word is medicine, and as medicine, we're just sometimes it appears, you know, and that doesn't necessarily reflect on anyone in this room, but we're just like, oh, study, read, oh, time, oh, okay, create time out of no time to do it. But I'm trying to show this morning there's benefit in engaging the word for that which results. Amen?
Amen.
Let's get stuck in there. Let's get in there. When I study, when you study, for sure, you're not studying for me. We have to go beyond, oh, Revelation. I can give examples what to study. You can study healing as a word. You can study health as a concept, your divine health. You can study salvation. Just one word and just get in there and just saturate yourself in God's word and let Holy Spirit, who's the author, just open things up in your heart. I want to assure you, your life will not remain the same. Okay? Wow, I just spent a lot of time on that. That's the word. We have to engage the word. Expose yourself to God's word. And we talked about it. Understanding comes. Light comes. And, you know, and on and on. Because of time, there's something God says about his word, which is crucial to our understanding as we get to study. So we don't just study in abstraction or haphazard or just, you know, whatever it is. Say, Holy Spirit, open this up to me. Psalm 138, for example. 138, you can put this down. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above what? All your name. You have magnified your word above all your name. Now, for the majority of other versions, they have it this way as a rendition. For you have magnified your word and your name above everything else. But whatever rendering it is, friends, here's the point. God's word is infallible. God's word is true. God's word is infallible. God's word, Isaiah 55, does not return to him void. And just so, in case we think, oh, that's just about, okay, God's word, whatever he says, not returning to him void. The living word did not return to God void, but accomplished that for which he was what? Sent. It's not about to accomplish. He accomplished it. And that's why I said study salvation. You have to study to get this understanding, to understand that it is what? It is finished. He said that on the cross. It's a done deal. That's why Hebrews 1 reveals that right now his position is what? Sitting. Seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. Done. So as concerns soteria, as concerns salvation, time and up, I mean, you listen to the messages on the pods, friends, because it's good to refresh our minds on these self-same truths and this self-same truth as it concerns healing and walking divine health over and over and over again. For me, it is not grievous. For you, it is safe to go over the word, to go over the truth of healing and health, to get this conviction in your heart so that, for example, you know that God is true, his word is true. And so as far as it says, oh, the word above your name, essentially, what gives the word backing is God himself. Amen. That's why it doesn't return void. That's why if it says 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. If God's word tells you that, if God's word tells you that by his stripes you were healed, I was going to say by golly, but you've got to accept that as true. Mm-hmm. And realize that who you are in Christ is the healed of the Lord. That's what he's spoken concerning you. That's what he's done.
Amen.
Done, finished, accomplished. Amen. That's yours. And so we're getting into God's word. Engaging God's word so that we can see this reality ever so clear in our lives by way of what I call a manifestation, actuality, or in a living out, okay? All right, God is therefore at the back of his word, giving credence, authenticity to what he accomplished through Christ. When this revelation crystallizes in your heart, when it gels in your heart, when it matures there, when it sticks in your heart, you have an encounter with God's word. And I'm telling you, change occurs. Change occurs in your body, in your life. Number two, wow. Number one, read and study. By reading and studying God's word, this is how you take medicine to yourself, which is God's word. Number two, by meditation, which includes, and I hate to say this or add this, but which includes also, I found it to be beneficial, which includes memorizing the word. Number two, meditating, which includes memorizing the word. Look at Proverbs 4 from the message. It says, dear friend, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Those who discover these words, which is the word find from the version we just looked at earlier. Those who discover these words live, really live. Body and soul, they are bursting with health. They are bursting with health. I remember as a young kid, I don't know if things have changed, but for example, in memorizing the timetable and all of that stuff, when they say learn it by heart, to me back then anyway, it meant basically what?
Memorizing
it. I don't know what that may mean right, you know, in this day and age. Things have changed so much. But when they say learn it by heart, it means to memorize it. Concentrate as you study, as you meditate. Learn God's word by heart. Memorize it. Have it rooted in your heart. Have it steeped in there, have it solidified in there. Part of that entails, involves, includes memorizing. So someone says, oh, I can't memorize. You know, one thing I found quickly in my experience, and I'm not saying memorize so that you can go quote or whatnot. That's not the point. It's so that you can have the word for yourself. Mm-hmm. Luke 6:45, as I said, Jesus said, he says, you know, a good man out of the abundance brings forth good treasure. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart? When travails come, when challenges of sickness and disease come, or if you've been experiencing something that you're trying to break out from, what are you speaking in command? What are you speaking in response? What are you speaking, drawing out from your heart to engage and nullify that situation and bring it to naught, naught, N-O-U-G-H-T, in your life? Nothingness, a thing of the past, done away with. What's coming out from your mouth? Dan.
Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. You tell yourself you can't memorize, guess what?
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. Joshua 1:8, popular passage, right? Mm-hmm. I want to show you something real quick in there. Joshua 1:8. Says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, what?
Day and night.
That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So meditating God's word, giving yourself over to it. From the Hebrew, that's to mutter, to utter, or to ponder God's word, meditating. That was from the Old Testament. Now into the New Testament. Let's look at this in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4:15. I'm giving you these references so you can go back and further do your studies. I'm just serving to prime us today. God's word is key. God's word is key. 1 Timothy 4:15, it says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly, completely, or totally over unto them, that thy profiting, or that your profiting, or your progress might appear unto all. I just said that to say this. As you give yourself over to God's word, as you engage God's word, there is profiting to be had as it concerns your situation, circumstance, as it concerns your body, or your mind, or your heart. That's the word, meditate is the word to ponder from the Greek. Or to revolve in your mind. God's word. Let it have an anchor there. So that you go beyond what someone is saying to you about healing. And you have a conviction about healing, about health for yourself. As you engage God's word. As you engage with the God of the word in loving relationship. Mm-hmm. So to you it's personal. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Trust me when I say there's progress to be had. And so let me try and put it together. Number three, last point. This is, let me anchor it this way. Third point, by applying positive action to the word. So reading and studying the word, meditating and memorizing God's word. And third point, by applying positive action to the word. Or in other words, put it another way, doing the word. Doing the word. We saw in Joshua 1:8 where it says, meditating on the law, for example, day and night, that you may what? Do. That's a fallout, friends. That's something I've seen that falls out from the place of meditation, studying God's word, meditating on God's word. You are primed and set to then do what? To do. What do I mean? Doing by way of law? No. Living out by way of expression. Living out by way of expression, by way of lifestyle. All of a sudden you just see sickness and disease and pains and trauma and things of that nature just drop off. Why? Because you're fully engaged. One, in God's word and with the God of the word, and the power inherent in the word cannot help but manifest in your life, because God's word till tomorrow is quick and active. It's powerful, potent.
It's alive.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Last portion of scripture, and I really need us to see this today. Let's go to Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 12. Wow. We're talking about positive response to God's word in faith. or doing the word. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and so on. It ends in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Here's a point I want to make. Let's look at it again. Now, when God's word says put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, and so on, as you study, as you meditate on God's word, it calls for two quick things. Number one, we have to be able, willing to submit to God's word as truth. And that process of submission calls for action by way of obedience. So we don't just read the word and study the word just to be able to, oh, let me get it up there. Oh, let me just know as many and say, oh, that person's a word man, this person's a word woman. No. I'm talking about application in life. So as you read, for example, and if God's word says put on tender mercies, kindness, for example. I say, kindness, that means be kind, right? Now, in actuality, in living that out, you have the Holy Spirit, you have his nature on the inside and whatnot, but are there certain hindrances to you being able to walk by way of application in these truths, for example? Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now, forgiveness. Can I forgive? Is there something inherent in me? Here's what I'm trying to say, friends. As we study God's word, let's be conscious of what's going on in there, in that loving relationship, in that place of intimacy. I talked about an encounter, but let's be conscious of exposure. Let us be willing to expose. Someone say expose. Expose. Be willing to expose your heart to God's word. So that when God's word says, do this, walk in love, be kind, be forgive. Now, it's our imperative to then do what? To do that, to live that way, to have our lives express that. Now, as you study, as you meditate, is it possible that there might be some hindrances to you being able to do that, to you being able to live that way? Allow God's word to shine the light of the glorious gospel, which is the truth of his word, to your heart. Where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So your heart is like a home. And in that home, there are rooms. Are there recesses in your heart that are already closed off? Are there recesses, places, spots in your heart that are like, they have boundaries in some spots, intentionally forgotten, things that, locked away. Is it possible that you can allow, someone say allow. Allow God's word to access those recesses. Remember what it says about Hebrews 4:12. Please go home and study that out. God's word is not only powerful, but it has penetrative effect. In wading through and dividing through those areas of our hearts that, to a great degree, constitute, what's the word to use? Like blocks or hindrances or whatever. I'm struggling for the word right now. But in simplicity and in truth, can you forgive? And the forgiveness is not, until the person comes to me, then that's when I forgive. Or some of this stuff might have been from like years and years, and you don't even know where X is or where Y is or what. But things have been, there's injury, there's trauma, and all of that stuff. You have to be willing and able to allow the Holy Spirit by God's word to expose that to you. And I'm saying with God's word, with the power and the potency inherent in God's word, the Holy Spirit is able to utilize power to effect change in your life, in your heart, in your body. In that regard.
There's a saying about forgiveness that says, forgiveness doesn't make what the other person did was right, but it will set you free.
It sets you free.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. God's word must dwell in us as medicine. It must have access to every inch of our hearts, those raw areas, those forgotten areas. So today I'm saying, choose to have an encounter with God's word. Choose to have an encounter with God's word by willingly, willfully exposing your heart. And I believe strongly, there's no time to get into it, but I'll close this way. I believe strongly that from Romans 8:11, it talks about the self-same spirit that raised Christ up from Jesus from the dead, affecting, bringing vitality and light to our bodies. The instrumentality, friends, with my humble submission to tomorrow is God's word. The self-same way we are born again by the word, the self-same way we grow by the word, the self-same way, you know, and there's scripture upon scripture. Ephesians 5 as well, the cleansing by the word as it concerns healing. Holy Spirit uses that instrumentality to effect healing in your body as well. Amen. So give yourself over to this medicine. Give yourself over to God's word. And see change in your life. See change in your body. And the testimonies will have no... It's just going to be like one after another.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Can I have a prayer team member up here? There's a whole lot more, friends, that can be said about this. This is how you find life. This is how you... As you engage and expose, choose it. Choose it. Choose this way of life. Choose to have your heart vested in God's word. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's stand at this time. Come on. Choosing to submit to God's word. Walking in obedience. And Holy Spirit, thank you, Father, for just exposing areas in our hearts where your light just needs to just flood in. Thank you, Father, for liberation, for freedom in the hearts of many. And thank you, Father, for walking in fullness of healing and divine health to which you've called us to, which you've fully, richly provided and given to us. And we have received. Say, I have fully received.
I
have fully received.
I am the healed of the Lord.
By his stripes,
I was healed,
and I am healed. No one can take this heritage away from you, friend. It's a done reality. And God is at the back of his word, which can never be voided in any way, shape, or form. Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, for these souls here present. Thank you, Father, for these lives. I thank you, Father, for healing manifestation, so real, so tangible in this room. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for individuals picking up bodily, heart-wise, mind-wise, from infirmities that have ailed them, walking free and picking up on healing bodily right now in the name of Jesus. Depression, done away with. Anxiety, panic attacks, a thing of the past in the name of Jesus. Severe pain, neck pain. I just sense that. Neck pain, done away with by the power of God. Arthritis, completely nullified, reversed. In sign, in effect, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Migraines, done away with, just dropped off. I give you praise, Lord. Mobility, fully restored. Father, I thank you. I glorify your holy name. I give you praise, Lord. I magnify your holy name. Thank you for this time and for your word. Thank you for your children able to just delve in more, in greater dimension, in relating with you, relationship with you as by the word. in the name of Jesus. Thank you for revelation and insight. And these ones walking free in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Back in time for service. Thank you. Back in time for service at 10:45. If you have any questions, please feel free to see me. If you have a need, a prayer need at this time, please make your way forward as well. Praise God.